We're good now, aren't we? All righty then. James told me, Bill and Linda were down at the retreat center this past week, and Linda did some work and helped out, and I enjoyed their company. And I want you to know the ladies that came, they ended up being 20, I think it was, total. And two of the ladies had definite spiritual experiences, and they were the teachers that had come. They weren't prepared. They were both of Catholic background. They weren't prepared for Baptist intervention and interpretation. They had no idea that we would know about Catholicism, and we really enjoyed being with them, and they have stayed there and are going to stay until Tuesday. So pray for them. Everything we do is a ministry. James told me when I got up here today, he said, now, Dad, it might be your last chance to bat here. They're getting a new guy. Swing at the first pitch because it ought to be a strike. And I remember, and he's had to watch me throughout the years, I used to love to play ball. I mean, that was a big thing. He was a good ball player as well. But when I didn't get to play fast pitch or baseball anymore because you had to practice so much, there is another level that most church athletes do. It's called slow pitch softball. So I took the step to slow pitch softball. Well, I couldn't just take the step to church league ball, so I played Dixie Majors slow pitch softball in the industrial division for combustion engineering, and they played all over the world, you know, if you could get off from work. And they paid you when you were off from work. And I tried to play in these tournaments that went Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because then they paid you time and a half if you were supposed to work. Anyway, always wanting to be first and to hit that first pitch. There was a guy, his name was Alvin Lovelady. He's a wonderful man, about 6'6". He was a famous basketball player, and he had also debilitated down to slow pitch softball. And he put on a show. He pitched with this King's men that traveled and all these. He pitched in exhibitions. And every year when they started the league, the news media would come out, you know. Of course, I batted first or second most of my life. And there I was, the first batter, and they'd bring the camera out and the news media would all be there. And I would get so hyped up, and Alvin would put on a show. I mean, he would do all this stuff to really show off. I hit that first pitch that he pitched. It hit him between the eyes, busted his nose and forehead, knocked him out. Well, I'm on second base. And everyone's like, don't you have any compassion? And, you know, I didn't even think about it, because what was I doing? I was playing ball, and he was too. And he told everyone for years that I'd do anything to get on base. You know, but he was so big, the ball hit him. You know, and he was in the wrong place, wasn't he? But he was where he was supposed to be. Now, I don't know all about life. A lot of things I really don't understand. I don't understand why sickness devours us. I don't know why death is the way it is, but there's got to be more to death than we think, because everybody's doing it. And we forget that. There's only one person in all of history that I can tell you about that ever came back from it. So the rest of us need to be prepared for it, because it's a journey we're going to take. Now, I don't know about all the controversy of the physical, the metaphysical, and all these other things. If you're going to have a body, I'll be honest with you, I'd as soon have some other way of riding than in this body, because it's getting a little more dilapidated. It's got sore places. And, you know, you hear all these stories, you're going to have a new body made whole in Christ. I'll take one like Christ had before he came and looked like me. It's what I'd like to have, because he traveled through time. He traveled through space to be with God in the beginning of the foundation of the earth. What's wrong today with our churches is we are not teaching our young people. I made a statement here the last time I spoke about the earth traveling 1,100 miles an hour this way. Yeah. I'm off a little. I rounded it off. Okay, it's 1,070 something, whatever. This way every day. And we wonder why our young people and children are not interested in church when we're telling them a flat earth perspective about our Lord and Savior who went somewhere else. Well, you get all this stuff mixed up. How can we expect people to understand this scripture I'm about to read you? And I want to read it to you thinking that these kids, they learned by the sixth grade which side of the sun we're on at which time of year, because spring and summer, winter and fall has to do with the direction, the rotation, and the distance we are from the sun, getting back to where we started, going all the way around that thing and coming back. When I was a kid, it was 93 million miles. I saw in a book last year, it's 95 now. We're either getting away or they're measuring different, you know? But we need to keep up. We need to realize what the young people know in order to keep Christ fascinating to them. Because to me, the most fascinating book is this book. It's not the King James. It's not the Revised Standard. It's not the NIV, the Living Bible. It's what I get out of this book. And the Beth Moore, Luke, Paul journeys, most people don't know there were three of them, you know, and of all the incidents that happened. And I've never liked Paul because of the way Paul did things. I've never liked Peter. And we probably wouldn't get along and they wouldn't like me. But I appreciate what they have done. Today's church is doing the same thing. We are not willing to change. See, rebirth is about change. And if you're not willing to change, that means you want to stay the same inside. We had a dog, Lacey. She died Thursday in Dina's arms. We had had her serviced because it was her time of season. And so we had her bred. She's a high-dollar black lab, 5 years old, good dog. One of the best-natured female dogs I've ever had. You know how females are about minding men. And she minded me so well. But she had problems internally from being serviced in 2 weeks. The developmental part, she died because of that. See, she could not change because of something physical was going on with her. And this is what's happening to our churches today. I have something I wrote for you just before I read. It says, bring your anger into the storehouse and you can gripe and complain. Take that to your employer or your neighbor and they will whip you or fire you. You can bring it into the church, into the storehouse, and good people will listen to you. But you can't take it anywhere else. The church will put up with your denial, your need to feel powerful, and you can hide here. We ought to put that in the Bible. You know, we can put it down there after Revelation where we have started to make the church. We are worried about what the scripture says. Tell me then what it says here. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me. And you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you, and that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. Now my Bible's in red in this part. Now, whether Jesus said this or not, ever who did write it would have written it like I would think Jesus would have said it. Because I don't think God loves me for who I am. I think God loves me in spite of who I am and what I do. And the love that I know comes from God. It sure doesn't come from man. No. James and I were talking about how evil we can be and be negative. You know, things just come out of us negatively. And it's not about the other people. Guess who it's about? It's about us, isn't it? And what we are harboring and bringing. It's just negative. And we can kill the spirit. I remember a young person joined the church when I was in Texas. One of the deacons said, "Oh man, they're on fire for the Lord." And chairman of the deacons looked at him and said, because this guy was always complaining, looked at him and said, "I don't worry, give him about 6 months. We can drag him down." Jesus goes on to say, "If you deny me before man, I will deny you before the Father who sent me." And that's an alien perspective of statement saying that Jesus came from the Father. Now, when I was in seminary, there's always a controversy about God, man, God, spirit, God, half man. This has been going on every council that the Catholic Church has had throughout the ages. Nicaea, Trent, all the councils, the big ones. The controversy was Jesus God. That's why we have a Trinitarian perspective today. God, Jesus, Spirit. Because we didn't want one to be greater than the other. So we have to create these things. These are man. It has nothing to do with the internal change of being born again and experiencing God. If you deny me before man, I will deny you before the Father who sent me. I am not of this world. I come because the Father sent me. I did not come of my own initiative. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God." Now, this is a guy, the Pharisees are ruling, they're in charge right now of the church. They're the Democrats. The Republicans are in controversy with them. See, we always have to have an issue and we have to categorize and divide it, don't we? We have to have it black and white, red or yellow, whatever. We can't just say they're the ones that are running the show and doing what the Romans allowed them to do. See, we're always allowed to do something under someone else, whether we like it or not. "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and he said, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, Nicodemus would be like you or me. The first thing we do when something is out of sorts, we don't try to grasp that. We try to figure it out. We would like it more in an analytical approach than something outside what we're able to control or manipulate. The problem today is the older we get, the less we want to change. I don't like some of this music that they put up on the boards and on the things, and I can't keep up with it, and there's no tune or anything for me. If he wasn't playing the piano and he wasn't singing, I couldn't do it at all. And I've been to the college career things, I've done all that, I've taught that, and I was always like, where are they going with this stuff? But if the young people come to church and it causes them to experience God and find Jesus, it needs to be done. Because they're not going to be like me, I hope. I hope they don't grow up and have the same attitudes that I have had and do the same things. And if the doors, we need to start closing the doors and locking our churches up more. Go down the interstate and see how many metal churches are built on the highest hump on the access road from here to Charlotte. And they're metal churches. And there's not a car in the parking lot except on the day they have church or the night that they have something special going on where they can get together and get out of the community and go in there and where they can have their little safe service. Is that who we are? It sure is. We're not bringing people into the church. I asked one time how long it's been since somebody was baptized. Last time I spoke, they baptized somebody. It's the greatest part of the church. Knew the example of rebirth. It says that Jesus told him, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born again when he's old? He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he?" No. So that tells me there's something greater to this scripture than what man wants to hear. And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and born of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Don't marvel at what I've said to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now that's as supernatural a thing as you'll find in this scripture, in this whole book. Because it says, if you want to go back and read this other stuff, there is a division. There is stuff in this world we don't understand. We call them devil, evil, spirit, all kinds of stuff, don't we? We watch the TVs, the movies right now, blood, true blood about the vampires. Well, what do when we have communion? You let somebody that doesn't know Jesus and doesn't understand the ceremonial aspect of what we're doing, we're drinking the blood and eating the body. That gives you the vampires and the zombies both. So you bring them in. We need to explain this stuff of what we're doing. Oh, we're practicing communion. That's the blood of Christ. You see, it's okay for us, but we're not explaining and not telling them about the spiritual aspect of what we're experiencing. The pneuma is the word that is used here. It's spirit, air. You hear people talk about pneumatic tools. That's where that word comes from, out of the Greek. It's driving it, but you can't see it, you see. It makes it work, even though you couldn't identify it for anything unless something else was moving in it. Is the Spirit moving in you that I would be able to identify it? I don't know. All I know is what I told my professors that they did not want me to spread in seminary. And that was that Jesus, my perspective, is Jesus came to earth because God asked him to. And he did that, not of his own initiative, but because the Father asked him to. Just like he asked me to do stuff. And I do them not of my own initiative because I do them differently. Jesus came to earth looking like me, in a perspective like me, so I could see the physical example of what I can do and accomplish and what I'm supposed to be. Now, we've gotten away from that somewhere, and you may not believe that or accept it, but it helps me get through the day. Because I know there's more to this than what we have made it be. Nicodemus did too. That's why he came to Jesus. There's something else going on. I'm a ruler. I'm one of the Sanhedrin. And I know there's something else going on here. And Jesus didn't give him the answer. He said, "You ought to know." because you've got all the paperwork to tell what it's all about, but you have not been born again. I was in the Navy, and we have a ceremony that's thousands of years old. Goes back to the Phoenician sailors, Jonah's bunch, when you know they threw Jonah overboard. They weren't looking at death like we would look at death of that. Because the ancient order of the deep in King Neptune, you're a polywog until you cross the equator or travel through storms and different things. And once you do that, you have to die at sea in water. Wonder where this baptism of the water comes from. That's an ancient tradition of where you die in your physical presence and you're buried in the water. And they blindfold you and tie your hands and they throw you in the water. They did it to me. And then they reach in and rescue you or deliver you or save you from the water and raise you up, just like we do in our service. And you are anew. You are no longer a polywog. You are now an ancient shellback of the order of the deep. I mean, you don't see a physical change other than the relief and gasp for breath. Do you remember when you were baptized? Do you remember the change in your life? Was it something where you were washed in blood under a threshing floor and cleansed? Or was there something else that caused you to do that from inside to make you want to change outwardly? Being born again and born of the Spirit is supernatural. It's something far beyond what we want to accept, far beyond what we want to admit. To be changed spiritually and be able to see means that you have other responsibilities of gifts, to be able to discern and know the difference of spirits, to be able to listen and commune with God and know what you're supposed to say instead of, well, I just didn't know what to say. Maybe you haven't read. Maybe you didn't study. Maybe you didn't want to know. Maybe you'd rather come to the church, be in denial, and sit and go home and say, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. That settles it. I'm going to heaven. If you'll read this book, when this book was written, the earth was flat. And the part where the angels went to and fro was a flat earth perspective. But guess what? Jesus didn't tell us the earth was round. It was going 1,100 miles an hour. That would have really messed them up, wouldn't it? What did he tell them? You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is all around us. Had a storm on my place down in the mountains, mine and Dina's place. Trees this big, wiped out. Wiped out. I could have cut them, made money off of them, couldn't I? Tops ripped out of them. And a guy went up the little holler with me the other day, and he said, goodness gracious. He said, I wouldn't have believed it. It looks like somebody has brought equipment through here and tore it down. I said, I wasn't using them. God reclaimed them. Maybe that can happen to us. Maybe if we're not being used, God will reclaim us. At least get us out of the way where our negativity, our anger, and our dissension will not intervene in good things that we need to be doing. I don't know what the church needs to do, but hallelujah, y'all have called a new pastor. Things are going to be different. If you think one person can make a difference, you're wrong. I was told when I went to Texas, they said, we don't expect you to change anything. I said, you don't? They said, oh no, we called you because we need to change. That's the best thing I could be told. Yeah, we need to change. Are y'all willing to do that? Change. It's kind of like being born again, isn't it? It's kind of like having a different perspective, breathe a different air. The Navy's got a diving chemical that they use in deep water diving, because if you dive too deep and you come up too fast, you get the bends. In other words, change too fast, you get sick, you can die. I say, if you don't change fast enough, the same thing can happen. If you drag it out and drag it out, you'll be like my trees down on the side of the mountain. God will reclaim His. Don't forget that. This is not yours. It's not mine. It's His. Don't forget that. Are you really born again? Have you experienced the newness of life from Christ? Or do you belong to the church and are a church member? See, we have gotten to a place that we have the routine of religion. We're in the sixth step of Finley Edge's book on the greening of the church. We have become institutionalized. We have losing the ability to know. And know is a word in German that means knowledge. It means to encompass that and understand. I really don't need to understand all that God does, because I mess up what little I know about my stuff. But I do understand some of the things that go on in my life are not for me. And whatever part I get to play, God has allowed me in the journey, because I am looking for something else. And that is that insight that God gives us to see the kingdom of God. If you could see it, what would you make it look like? If you could see it, how would you make it so it would be forever? Streets of glass, clear as gold. Gold streets, clear as glass. How would you want it? Everybody had a popsicle. Everybody could watch football on Sunday. How would you want it? You know, we have these visions and we hear all these sermons of these preachers on television. Don't believe them. That's called discernment. And God gives us all that gift. If you're born again, that which is flesh is flesh. You know that I believe Jesus sat at the table with Matthew and those other men, and he drank wine. He had his elbow on the table. He laid on the floor on a big cushion, and the people outside said, "Look at him. He's in there like a drunkard." But you know, every one of them listened to him, because he went where they were and sat there with them, didn't condemn them or criticize them. And most of them went to their death because of that. So we need to let some of our rules and regulations go so we can get these people to hear about Christ, because we're the ones that are going to answer for that. How can you punish somebody that doesn't know? How can you punish people that should have known and have had it all the time but never shared it? I would think they didn't have it, because to have it is to want to share it. If not, you don't have the love of God, but you have greed, you have selfishness, envy, and strife. God is about love. Now, God can reclaim. And I ask you today, if you're willing to do whatever it takes to see the kingdom of God. If not, you need to say it honestly, "I'm not." And God can help you work on it. Let's stand. I don't know what the hymn of invitation is, but ...